On the line now, I have Susan Lone from the Adoption Rights Alliance. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Niall. How are you?
Now, this the appointment of Judge Yvonne Murphy to look into the mother and baby homes. It's a commission of investigation. I'm fairly sceptical about investigations. Is this going to be a forensic investigation, or are there going to be some anomalies there?
Well, of course, it all depends on the terms of reference which the government is working on at the moment. And we are very sceptical that the terms of reference will come even close to what we have recommended. Because last Thursday, an interdepartmental report was published. So that took representations from, you know, the Department of Children, the Department of Health, the Department of Education, and so on. And really, it's stank of a whitewash in waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was all about how to shut the inquiry down before it even got started. The interdepartmental report is fixated on examining only those institutions which bore the appellation mother and baby home, whilst, you know, the dogs in the street know that children born to unmarried mothers had their children in a wide variety of institutions, including our state, our National Maternity Hospital in Hollow Street, including the Rotunda Hospital, the Erinville in Cork, the Coombe in Dublin, and so on, and also the vast array of private maternity homes, some of whom were involved in illegal adoptions and have even been the subject of court cases, if we think of Mary Keating's home on the Sandford Road, which actually was not struck off the list of private maternity homes and was allowed to continue operating despite having been convicted of registering births illegally in the 1960s.
So
it seems to us, as I said, it's a whitewash in waiting, and the government have already decided they will take the narrowest possible focus of this whole issue.
It doesn't seem much point in it then, does it, really? I mean, and is there anyone from, for instance, from your Adoption Rights Alliance and people from different agencies involved in the investigation?
Well, I think we certainly wouldn't be called to oversee the investigation, but we, when the investigation gets underway, we'll certainly be called to give evidence, because a great many members or a great many of our supporters are people who are women who spent time in the mother and baby homes and have first-hand testimony of the conditions they endured there.
Mm-hmm.
We also have large numbers of the children who are now adults, of course, all in their 50s and 60s.
And have they been... 70s. Sorry for interrupting you. Just think, have they been... I mean, you know their stories, but by the people that's doing the investigating, have they been interviewed by them, for instance?
No, but that is how a commission of investigation would operate. It would be very similar to the Ryan report, which Judge Yvonne Murphy... Or, sorry, the Murphy report and Ryan report. And Judge Yvonne Murphy, of course, was involved in the latter, in the Murphy report.
Mm-hmm.
Testimony can be given in camera because it is of such sensitive nature, and we see large numbers of women who remain to this day traumatised by their experiences in those awful homes. They couldn't possibly be expected to relate all of that in an open court. So
yes,
some of those testimonies will be given in camera.
Okay.
But equally, there are large numbers of women who want to be heard.
Yeah, sorry, Susan, when I meant talking to them, I didn't mean an open court. I meant just quietly to find out what questions they could be asking. You know what I mean? It gives you some idea of what they can ask of different people associated with everything that was going on, even with the children, the offspring, that have tried to find their mothers. If they ask them questions, what sort of barriers do they hit? To me, that's sort of a preliminary investigation. Before doing the full investigation, that seems to make more sense to me.
You would absolutely hope that Judge Yvonne Murphy would have such experience in this area that she would know that step would be absolutely essential. Now, we're very interested to see who else will be joined to the commission, because to nominate one woman is just, you know, you might as well ask her to count the grains of sand on a beach.
Mm-hmm.
If this commission is not a multidisciplinary team, which would include historians, academics, very importantly would include counsellors, people who can offer the emotional support to people. Many of these women have buried their experiences for decades. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to ask them to come forward and then not to support them afterwards is just further abuse of these women, and they have endured so much. So we're very much hoping that Judge Yvonne Murphy will actually reach out to us in advance of the terms of reference being dictated, so that she too, I'm sure, will not want to be sold a pup on this. And as we saw with, say, the Ryan Commission, which of course was previously called the Lafoy Commission, mm-hmm. into investigating child abuse, I mean, Mary Lafoy was effectively stymied by the courts because well-heeled individuals who didn't want their names associated with the Lafoy Commission actually brought a High Court case to say that it would be prejudicial to their good names if they were to be investigated as part of the Lafoy Commission. So Mary Lafoy stood down in absolute, you know, frustration at mm-hmm. what was going on. So I suspect we haven't learned a great deal on these matters, although the interdepartmental report, as well as, you know, attempting to narrow the focus to, you know, as I said, the narrowest possible spectrum going, they did say, oh, we had to avoid mistakes of the past, and suggested that it, you know, it was really going to be very, very difficult. Now, it seemed to me, upon reading it, that they were saying, well, this is so difficult that we mightn't, you know, we mightn't even actually embark on the project. And they were also trying to bring in references to the Mahon Tribunal, which, of course, was an entirely different animal, and which, you know, scores of, you know, solicitors and barristers in the Greater Dublin area probably made their life's fortune on. It is not going to be that kind of commission of investigation. And it would be an absolute, well, I can't think of the word, frankly. It would be just an injustice of the highest magnitude mm-hmm. to say this is too difficult, too prone to corruption, too prone to misuse or abuse. Let's not go there. And frankly, you know, we have to avoid embracing that view.
Okay, now there seems to be contradictions in a sense as well with the feelers that the government is putting out. With, say, for instance, what the Minister for Children is saying, he's saying like there's little point in limiting the scope of the investigation and the inquiry, and yet there's still barriers being put there. So that seems a little bit of a contradiction.
I totally agree with you there, and I have to say I'm mesmerised as to why Enda Kenny thought it appropriate to place Charlie Flanagan as minister, to make him Minister for Children for a mere, what was it, 4 or 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Certainly in his public utterances, he was very, very keen to have the matter dealt with comprehensively. So little point.
So it was easy for him to say that if he knew what was going to happen, I suppose.
Yeah, well, now, of course, we now have James Riley mm-hmm. In situ as Minister for Children. And we've heard very, very little from him on the issue. And he did sign off on the interdepartmental report, which, as I said, seems to me to be a whitewash in the making, mm-hmm. or in waiting.
Do you find, as regards the public, do you think that the public, in a sense, are in denial about exactly what happened, the extent of what has happened in Ireland over the past, I suppose you could say 50, 60 years, if not well before?
Yes. I think they are, because, to be honest, you cannot throw a stone in this country and not hit somebody who is directly affected by adoption. And nowadays, we are prefacing the word adoption with the word forced adoption. We suspect that the investigation, if it proceeds to investigate all adoptions as we have asked for, mm-hmm. that they will discover that up to 80% of all adoptions in Ireland were forced. And I think people are examining their own consciences and realising that, A, they went along with the church line that to have a child outside of marriage was, you know, a heinous sin, almost akin to a crime. If you think about it, we detained these women without leave. We deprived them of their liberty in mother and baby homes because they had babies outside of marriage. Not because they were dangerous individuals, not because they were addicted to substances, alcohol, or had a record of abusing children. Many of these women were first-time mothers and were just being adjudicated on their sexuality mm-hmm. and their inability or unwillingness to go along with the status quo of, you know, only having sex within marriage. Mm-hmm. So I think there's, you know, particularly Irish people of a certain generation who were well aware of mother and baby homes and probably even colluded in, you know, sending their daughters, their nieces, their sisters to such places. I think, you know, that the veil has been lifted from their eyes and they realise that they were co-conspirators along with the church and state.
How recent are we talking? Sorry, how recent are we talking about? How far back? I mean, how recently do we go back?
Would you believe last punitive mother and baby home closed down in the 1990s?
Wow.
So they were institutions where women were being sent to be out of sight and out of mind to have their babies, and the assumption was that their child will be put up for adoption thereafter because they were not regarded as suitable mothers to mind their children.
Mm-hmm.
So we see in the case of the June mother and baby home, that closed in the 1960s. But I suspect that wasn't for the want of clientele in the area.
Yes, yeah.
Because really women had absolutely no choice. Some of them, a very large percentage of women fled the punitive regime in this country, the repressive regime, by going to England. And their numbers are so well known in the UK that social workers devised a special abbreviation, and it was PFI. So you will see in many British social workers' file, PFI meaning pregnant from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So within the state then, so we had the Chew Mother and Baby Home, we had Sean Ross Abbey down in County Tipperary, we had Bessborough County Cork, we had Castle Pollard, County Meath, we had Dunboyne, County Meath, but then we must not forget the infant homes. We had Temple Hill and Blackrock, County Dublin, and that was really for holding the children of unmarried mothers, mainly from Dublin, who had returned home or were living in a bedsit someplace in Dublin, couldn't possibly bring their child home with them.
Mm-hmm.
So the children were kept and paid for by their mothers in these infant hospitals and then were subsequently adopted. So there's Temple Hill and Black Rock, and there's also a St. Clair's, or also known as St. Joseph's in Stamullen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, as I've referenced before, the myriad of private nursing homes around the country, which did hold mothers and babies for up to several weeks at a time rather than several months or several years, as we saw particularly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are under the impression as well, one way, I suppose, of veiling it, that they think it only happened in rural communities, very small mm-hmm. rural communities. Well, it happened in the cities as well.
Yeah, actually, of course, I forgot the big one. I think it was possibly the biggest mother and baby home in Ireland was St. Patrick's on the Navan Road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that closed down in the late 80s, and the area was subsequently sold to developers, and there's now a housing estate there mm-hmm. called Kempton. So this is not a rural-urban divide, and in fact, girls from Dublin were often sent down the country lest they be identified, you know, in the greater Dublin area, you know, as being an unmarried mother.
And of course, they had the authorities on their side as far as concerned, because if anyone complained, or if any of the girls, or I suppose if there was a, I don't know what the whole way it worked, but if they tried to object in any way, the authorities were there to assist.
In the same way as we saw with the Magdalen Laundry,
yes.
State actors were involved in the continued incarceration of women and girls in these homes. They were brought there by state actors as well, you know, by mm-hmm. Members of the NSPCA, by the Gardaí, and of course by priests and members of their own families upon instruction from parish priests and Gardaí. And I have seen the most incredible documentary evidence of the police's, not just even involvement, but with preoccupation with women who were pregnant outside of marriage. I have mm-hmm. seen evidence, I've seen a document that a local guard, the sergeant, said, this woman's movements will need to be watched. Now, that all needs to come out because, frankly, we are no better than the police states that existed, you know, east of the Iron Curtain.
Well, that's what I'm going to ask you. These type of things you're quoting to me now, Susan, will they bother to look at them? You know, obviously, that's why someone like someone from the Adoption Rights Alliance should be on the investigating committee, or some other agencies who have all this stuff there that otherwise might be overlooked.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, that would happen. I think I would. My chances of you know, growing another head are greater than actually being asked to, in some way, advise a commission. I don't mean personally, but anyone from Adoption Rights Alliance. And we're very, very concerned that the county homes, that the terms of reference will seek to exclude those. Now, county homes, the women and children housed there, they endured even worse conditions than the women in the mother and baby homes, because they were considered to be even beneath the women in the mother and baby homes. They were known as repeat offenders, mm-hmm. as being recalcitrant, as being unredeemable. Women who had more than one child outside mm-hmm. of marriage. And at the county homes, oddly enough, it was referenced within this interdepartmental report that the unmarried mothers were the sole source of domestic labour within those homes, and that they did all the laundry, the cleaning, the cooking, the small-scale farming, and, of course, minding the children in nursery-like settings.
There was underlying things going on there. Can I finally ask you, I mean, I've seen cases of this much earlier in the century in America, and I know there have been sanctions against people who were caught issuing false birth certs and all like that. Do you think there'll be any criminal sanctions at the end of this investigation, honestly?
I honestly believe there will be no criminal sanctions, because I think if you're going to commit a crime in this country, you do it big. Mm-hmm. If you recall, was it 2 or 3 years ago, we sent a man to prison initially for 7 years for VAT fraud, for describing God. I think it was reduced upon appeal to 5 years.
That's right. Yeah.
We also, is it in the Navan District Court, they regularly prosecute people for leaving cardboard boxes at recycling centres. But the so-called great and the good of this country, who are behind these crimes 100%, they will never be pursued.
When do you think it will start, if it hasn't already started? How long do you think it will take? Is it going to be a long, drawn-out process? I mean, if you have all the information there, surely to God, shouldn't take that long.
Well, I suspect that the state doesn't even know the information it has. I was rather surprised in reading the interdepartmental report that they relied heavily upon journalistic references, upon academic references. It seemed to me they hadn't actually gone to their own records, nor to the National Archives in any great extent. So they have millions of records to discover, and I suspect a great many of them are in a perilous state.
Okay.
I think the first thing Judge Yvonne Murphy should do is to set up a documentation team to ensure that when these records are collected, that they are done so in a very, very stringent manner. Because it is not beyond certain groups in this country to withhold records. We know that.
Yes, yeah.
And I would be very concerned that records would either A, be withheld, B, destroyed, or C, somehow tampered with, particularly during transit, both deliberately and accidentally. I can see tampering occurring. Mm-hmm. If you imagine moving, you know, several thousand records from location A to location B, people are going to have to carry those records. Several files get dropped. Pieces of paper are, you know, put into the wrong manila envelope or the wrong manila file.
And I imagine if it goes anywhere up the echelons of power, there'll be some barriers there as well, if it looks like it's going that way at all.
Of course. And, you know, we, to quote Mike Malott's book, Banished Babies. Now, he's an Irish journalist who wrote about the trafficking of the 2,000-plus children to the US, mm-hmm. which was in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, which was done with the full knowledge and cooperation of the Irish state. The very last line of his book, which he attributes to the views of adopted people, is that we believe it is the tacit intention of every government to deny till we die. And I can see this investigation dragging out certainly a very minimum of 2 to 10 years.
My God.
Now, I would hope that Judge Yvonne Murphy, you know, following on from her work on the Ryan and Murphy reports,
yeah.
that she would, obviously particularly the Murphy report, that she would appreciate the value of reporting in a modular type fashion, and that several investigations can all happen in parallel.
And expedite proceedings a bit more.
Absolutely.
Okay, listen, Susan, it's great being talking to you. We've run out of time. I hope to have you on in a couple of months' time, maybe get an update on what's been happening and if you're getting any barriers, even with yourself, or if you hear of anything at all, we'll bring you on again maybe in about 3 months' time.
Lovely.
Thank you very much, Susan.
Thanks for your interest.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.